Thank you, Heather. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. We're in a series called Drones, Someone's Watching. And last week we saw that God is present everywhere. So where is God? He's everywhere. And today we're going to be looking at what does God know? And so I'm going to ask all of you that are able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin in Proverbs 15:3, which is the theme for our series. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. And then our focal passage for today is 1 John 3 and verse 20. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. And then in Psalm 139, we have a description of what that looks like. O Lord, You have searched me, and You know me. You know when I sit, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us, God, to understand and to know that You know us completely and love us unconditionally anyway. Speak to us now, God, through Your Word. For we make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Drones are everywhere. There are unmanned vehicles that may fly. They may be under the ocean. They can be in different places. But the whole thought of this series is somebody is watching. Now, if you have a dollar bill, I want you to take it out. You have a dollar bill. Not a five, not a ten, not a 20, not a hundred. If you have a $1 bill, I want you to take it out. All right? Now look on the back side of it and you'll find a pyramid. You see that pyramid? You see it on the back? It's on the back of every dollar. Well, the pyramid is not completed. Do you see that? It's an unfinished pyramid. And up above it is a symbol. This symbol is up here on your screen today. It is the symbol of a triangle. It has an eye in it, and then it has like rays of sunshine around it. There is a name for that particular symbol. It is called the Eye of Providence. It is actually on the reverse side of the official seal of the United States of America. And it is a picture of the all-seeing eye of God. On every dollar, you're reminded that God sees everything. On the backside of the official seal of the United States of America, there is a reminder that the all-seeing eye of God sees everything. And so what does God know? Well, number one, God knows everything. Well, I guess we could just stop here and pray. God knows everything. 1 John 3:20, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. What does that look like? Well, do you remember at the very beginning I showed you a map of the church and how things are going to be laid out? Well, that picture was taken by one of the men in our church using a drone. He came up here this week, and Tracy was here, and she was telling me about it. Said he took the drone, set it out there, and he took off, and he said the thing went up in the air, and he said it got so high in the air, I couldn't see it. He said, but he had his phone and he opened up his phone and he looked and you could see on the phone everything that the drone saw. And then he could take it and he could zoom in real minute detail. And she said, you know, it was kind of unsettling to realize that there's something I can't see, and it can see me and record everything I'm doing. Did you know before we ever had drones, God could see everything you're doing? In Luke 8:17, it tells us, "For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open." Do you have any secrets in your life? Do you have any skeletons in your closet? Well, how do you feel about God knowing all of that? And one day it can all be revealed. I don't know about you, but that's kind of unsettling. That God sees everything that I do, and He has recorded everything that I have done, and one day it can all be disclosed. That's pretty unsettling, isn't it? But what I want you to understand today is that the omniscient character of God should encourage you and comfort you instead of scaring you. Why is that? Well, let me give you a couple of reasons. Notice there on your outline, God knows all your motives. Because God knows everything, He knows what's in your heart. In verse 1, it says, "O Lord, You have searched me and You know me." The word there, searched, is an interesting word. It's used for digging in the ground for a treasure. So just as somebody would dig for gold or dig for diamonds, God says, I have done a search, not a Google search, but He says, I've done an extensive search and I know all there is to know about you. I know your heart. I know your motive. I know the real reason that you do things. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Because sometimes I'm trying to do the right thing. It may not turn out right, but I'm trying to do the right thing. And you may say, God, that was dumb. But God will say, I see His heart. I see His heart. I know what He was attempting to do. In Luke 16:15, it says, Jesus said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." Sometimes we think we know what other people mean. Sometimes we think we know what their motives are, but we really don't. A couple of weeks ago, my mother-in-law had surgery. We're in the waiting room at the Gaston Memorial Hospital, and my little grandson was there. And his mom says to me, she says, "Will you watch him while I go to the bathroom?" I said, "Okay." And he looks up at me and he says, "Paul, you want to see an alligator?" And I said, "Why, sure." And he grabs my little old finger and he starts leading me out of the waiting room. And we're going down the hallway towards the gift shop. And I'm thinking, he's going to show me a little stuffed alligator down at the gift shop. So we're going down there and he's talking about this alligator. Okay? And I'm saying, "Wow, oh yeah. Oh, I can't wait to see the alligator." And we get to the gift shop and he keeps on going. We go past the gift shop. And all of a sudden, there's a noise. It goes, ding. And he points and he says, "Alligator!" It was the elevator. But you see, I thought he was saying alligator. Well, aren't you glad that we serve a God that understands everything we say? I mean, how many times have you thought something in your head and it sounded really good, but when it come out of your mouth, you think, "Ooh, God, that just didn't turn out right." Huh? And how many times have you done that and the person who heard it didn't really understand what you were trying to say? But I find comfort in that God knows it all. God knows my heart. God knows my motive. Even when I get it wrong, God sees what's in my heart. In John chapter 21, we see an example of that in the life of Simon Peter. The third time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Think about that. Jesus knows everything. He knew that Simon Peter would deny him before he ever chose him to be a disciple. And even though he knew that he was going to deny him, he still called him. He predicted, you will deny me. He also knew that he would repent. He also knew that he would be restored. Jesus knew Peter's heart. He knew that in his heart, Peter loved God. I don't know about you, but it encourages me that God knows our motives. God knows our heart. And then next, God knows all your ways. Some of you got some ways. In verse 3, you discern my going out, my lying down, and you are familiar with all of my ways. Some of you have been married for a long time. And when you walked down the aisle and you said, I do, you thought you knew who you were marrying. And 50 years later, you're thinking, now I know their ways. Well, God knows all of your ways from the very beginning, and He still loves you. He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. Isaiah 55:9 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, we often think that God thinks like us, that God's ways are like our ways. But He said, no, my ways are far above your ways. And yet God, knowing our ways, He still loves us anyhow. Now, I'm the senior pastor here. Can I tell you my ways are different than the associate pastor? Can I tell you his ways are different than the youth pastor? But you know what? I'm trying to serve God. They're trying to serve God. We love God. They love God. But at the same time, God understands our ways, that we are different. And think about that. Being as different as we are, God still cares about every single one of us. Number 4, God knows all your weaknesses. What did you just think of when I said that? Some of you thought chocolate. God knows all your weaknesses. In Hebrews 4:15, the high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same things we do, yet he did not sin. God knows your weaknesses. You see, some of us in this room, we have a really short fuse. It don't take much to set you off. I mean, you know, you can go from zero to angry in 1 second. You know what? God knows your weaknesses. Now, for some of you, it's not anger, it's pride. Oh, look what I did. God knows your weaknesses. For others, it's not pride. It's jealousy. All of us have weak spots in our life. All of us have areas of our life where we let God down. All of us have areas of our life when we let our family and our friends down. And God knows all of our weaknesses. And He loves us and cares about us in spite of all of our flaws. Number 5, God knows all of your future. Did you know God knew you was going to be here today? Yesterday? God knew you was going to be here today, last week. Did you know when you were born, God knew you were going to be here at this place on this day? How do I know that? God's Word says so. He says in Psalm 139, verse 4, you know what I'm going to say even before I say it. Wow. You know, I try to watch what I say. Every once in a while, I'm talking to somebody and I'm listening and they'll say, hello, preacher. I said, I'm listening and I'm thinking about what I'm going to say. Because you see, I have enough life experiences that sometimes I've opened my mouth and said something before I thought. Well, God says He knows the words that you're going to say before you ever say them. That means God knows the future. Jeremiah 1:5 says it this way, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Do you understand that God knew all about your life before He ever made you? God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and God's got it all planned out. God knows not only what your past is and what's going on in your life right now, but God knows your future. In verse 16, He explains that. Now, if you just let this one verse sink in, it'll just blow your mind. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Think about that. 365 days in a year, if you live to be 100 years old, think about how many pages are in God's book. And He said, I had it all written down before it ever happened. I didn't put this reference in your outline, but you may want to write it down, and that's Mark 10:40. Mark 10:40 reads like this, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. I did a little research on that. According to the medical profession, you have, if you're average, 100,000 hair follicles on your head. And each one of those follicles has the potential to produce 20 hairs over a lifetime. Well, do the math. That's 2 million hairs that the average person will have on their head at one time. And the Bible says they are numbered. Now, folks, that just doesn't mean that God knows that you have 1.8 million instead of 2 million. That means every single one. That means if I pluck that one out right there, He just knows that hair 26,123 was plucked out. Now, according to medical science, the average person loses about 100 hairs a day. Some of you are above average. I did the math on that. We got some engineers in here at 2 million hairs and 100 a day. That means it'd take you 55 years to go bald. And so at 62, I feel like I'm above average. Yeah. But think about it. There are 7 billion people in the world, and God has every hair numbered on everyone. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. It encourages me to know that I serve a God that knows that much about every one of us. You understand there's not going to be any shock and awe with God. God's not going to have an emergency session in heaven and say, oh, did you hear about Bill? No, God knows all of it in advance. What else does God know? Number 6, God knows all our wounds. He knows all of our hurts. He knows all of our heartache. He knows all our pain. In verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you live long enough, your heart's going to be broke. If you live long enough, you're going to have difficulty and trouble and pain in your life. In my lifetime, I've been blessed with good health. I haven't had a lot of experience as a patient. But I have had a CT scan. I have had some MRIs. And you know, it's amazing. They'll scan over your body and you can't see it, but that machine will see all of that stuff. And they'll come back and they'll point it out and say, oh, it looks like a long time ago you broke your index finger on your left hand. Yep, did that in the second grade. That machine will see that. Well, folks, that's just a machine that man has invented. Do you understand that God sees and knows every hurt and every pain and every disappointment that you have ever had in life? And I don't know about you, but that encourages me that God knows all of the pain that is in my heart and in my life. Because in Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. See, God just doesn't know the pain that's in your life. God knows the solution to the pain that's in your life. He is the one that can heal. He is the one that can bind up. You see, so many times the doctors, they put their heads together and say, well, we really don't know what to do. God knows exactly what to do. Why is that? He knows everything. He knows everything. Here's a beautiful verse I want you to highlight. Psalm 56:8, you've seen me tossing and turning through the night. Some of y'all know what that looks like. Some of you know what that feels like. You have collected all my tears and preserved them in your bottle. You have recorded every one in your book. You know what I know? I know that there's folks in this room that have shed a lot of tears. Some of you have shed tears because you're a parent that has a rebellious child. Some of you are here because one day you walked down an aisle and said, I do, and there is pain and heartache in your marriage, and you have shed a lot of hot tears over that. Some of you have physical pain where every joint and part of your body hurts, and in pain you've cried out, and the Bible says God saw every tear. He just didn't see it, but God collected it in His bottle. Imagine there's a bottle in heaven and God has collected every tear that you've ever shed and recorded it in His book. You know, we're so blessed to live in a technological age when we have all of these tools. Now, one of the things that we have as a tool is the internet, okay? Have you ever posted something and thought, man, that was dumb, I'm going to delete that? I got bad news for you. According to the technology experts, anything that's put on the internet is never really deleted. Oh, you say, well, I deleted my Facebook page. Nope, it's still out there. Well, I deleted that tweet. Nope, it's still out there. Well, it's not on my computer, no, but it's out there in cyberspace somewhere. You see, when the internet was invented in 1996, they started something called the Internet Archive. And you know what that means? That means everything is saved somewhere. I read that they're saving currently 1 billion pages a week. And now the Internet Archive is up to 11 petabytes. What's a petabyte? It's a 1 million billion bits of information. That's how much has been collected since 1996. And so, young people, you can do your Snapchat and you can send it out to your friends and you think 10 seconds later it is gone, but it is out there somewhere, baby. Now, I share that to say, God has been doing that not with the internet, but He's been doing that with everything in your life and everything in your parents' life and in your grandparents' life all the way back to the time of Adam and Eve. We serve a God who knows everything. And you know them things that you're embarrassed about that you deleted? God knows all about them. And He loves you anyway. Wow. God knows our wounds. And then number 7, God knows your works. In Matthew 6:4, so that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Can I tell you, there's a lot of work goes on around this place here called Anthony Grove Baptist Church. A lot of the things you never see because it happens at a time when you're not here. But you know what? God sees all of that. And sometimes you may be working and serving and working and serving, and it doesn't seem like a lot of people notice. You're not getting any attaboys. You're not getting any pats on the back. But think about it. God knows about it. God's writing it down. And God says there will be a reward for what you're doing. Recently, Harold Bean went home to be with the Lord. One man heard that Harold had passed away. When that happened, he was with his 9-year-old grandson, and he told his grandson, he says, "We're going to need to go see this family and pay our respects." And he told his 9-year-old grandson, he said, "If it wasn't for Harold Beam, I would have never known you. You would have never known me. I would have never met you if it hadn't been for Harold Beam." And then he goes over and he meets with his family and he tells his daughter, says, "You know what? If it wasn't for your dad, I wouldn't be alive." She said, "Well, I don't know this man. I don't know anything about him." He said, "Your dad was my sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous. And because of his work, I was able to defeat alcohol. Because I was able to defeat alcohol, I'm alive today. I'm with my family today, and it was all because of your dad." And Julie says, "Wow, I never knew that about my dad." But you know what? God knows about it. All the things that you're doing behind the scenes that nobody knows about, God knows about them. And God says, "I'm writing it down, and one of these days, you will be rewarded for your work." Number 8, God knows your needs. In Matthew 6:8, "Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." Who is them? Who is Jesus talking about? Don't be like them. We'll go read the previous verse, and it says, don't be like the pagans. And they run around trying to get all of these things. Jesus said, "Your Father in heaven knows." See, He knows everything. He knows what you need. God knows that need. Whether it's a spiritual need, an emotional need, a physical need, a financial need, a social need. God knows what you need before you even ask it. Let me tell you something. We're going to cover this next week. What can God do? But notice there in Philippians 4:19, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." You see, God just doesn't know what you need. God is able to meet every single one of those needs. Let me just give you an example of how God works. I mean, we serve such an awesome, wonderful God. A guy by the name of Richard Dye was sent to Acapulco as a missionary. And he had been there for about 2 months, and he was trying to plant a church, and work wasn't going very well. He was very discouraged. But as he was going around the city, he would look up on the hillside, and he would see a cross up there on the mountain. And he'd look up there, and he'd see that cross, and it would encourage him. And so he was been there about 2 months, and he was discouraged, and he said, "You know what, I'm going to go up there and see how did that cross get up there on the side of that mountain?" So he got in his car, he drove up there, and when he got up there, to his surprise, he saw that this huge cross was on top of a large motel. And he thought, "Wow, I wasn't expecting that." And so he went in and saw the secretary and said, "I'd like to speak to the owner." She said, "Oh, do you have an appointment?" "Well, no, I don't." "Well, I'm sorry, you can't see him." "Well, I just want to say something to him. I just have something I need to tell him." "So, well, what do you need to tell him?" "Said, I just want to thank him." "So, well, wait a minute, and I'll go get him." So the owner comes out there, and he says, "Listen, my name's Richard Dye, and I've been traveling around down here, and every once in a while I'll look up, and I'll see this cross, and it encourages me, and I just wanted to come up here and thank you for putting that cross up there." And the man just busted out crying. He started weeping and crying. He said, "I put that up there years ago." And he said, "All I've heard over those years is criticism. Nobody has ever thanked me. You just don't know how much that means." Richard Dye, this missionary, says, "Well, I'm down here to plant a church. And he says, it's been hard. And that cross has encouraged me. And the owner of the motel says, well, where do you meet at? He said, well, we don't have a place to meet. He said, follow me. And he took him out of the motel over here, and here's this beautiful chapel. He said, I built this chapel when I built this motel. And it's free for you to use. You can start using it next Sunday. You see, that's how God knows what you need before you need it, and God has already begun the process to meet that need before you ever even have that need. That guy had built that chapel years before the missionary ever got there. God will meet all of your needs. And then number 9, God knows all your mistakes. In Job 11:11, it says, for he knows perfectly all the faults and sins of mankind. He sees all sin without searching. Do you understand that God sees all of your sin? God sees all of your failures. God sees all your hypocrisy. God sees all of your sham. And he still wants to have a relationship with you, even though he sees all of that. How many of you guys grew up playing with a slingshot? Well, you can appreciate this story. My dad made me a slingshot when I was born. I still have it, made out of a dogwood tree. Well, this little boy's about 9 years old, and he gets a slingshot, and he's so excited about having it. He's out there on the farm, and, you know, he grabs him a rock up, puts it in that slingshot. Well, he's such a bad shot, he can't even hit the side of the barn. But you know what? He's determined he's going to get good at it. So he's out there and he shoots at everything. You know, he shoots at the cow, he shoots at the barn, he shoots at the tree, he shoots at everything. Of course, he can't hit nothing. Well, one day he's out there with his slingshot and the family pet, Goose, comes by the barnyard and he picks up a rock, aims it, lets go, pow! Hits the goose in the head and kills it. I mean, he can't even hit the barn. Oh, well, when it happens, he panics. He goes over there, picks the goose up, runs around the back of the barn, tries to cover it up with some hay. But he's got a little sister. And she saw it. And she says, I'm going to go tell Mom. Oh, sis, don't go. Don't go tell. Don't tell. I'll do anything. She says, okay. Well, you're going to have to do my chores. All right, so the next day he gets up and he does his chores and he does her chores. And then when he gets home, he does his homework and sis comes in and says, all right, now you're going to do my homework. I'm not going to do your homework. I'm going to go tell Mom. All right, let me see your homework. And so he's doing their chores, doing the homework, and this goes on for about a week, and finally he can't take it anymore. And he comes in there and says, Mom, I got something I need to tell you. I said, what is that, son? He says, well, the other day I was playing with my slingshot, and I hit George the goose, and I hit him in the head, and I killed him, Mom. I'm so sorry. She said, honey, I know. I was standing at the sink washing dishes when you shot the goose with a slingshot. Well, Mom, if you saw that and you know it, why haven't you said anything? She said, well, I was just going to see how long you would let your sister blackmail you before you would tell me the truth. Now, here's what I want to ask you this morning, okay? How many of you have a slingshot event? How many of you have got a failure in your life? You made a huge mistake. You really let somebody down. You really let God down. And the devil has been blackmailing you with guilt and shame. And your father has known about it the day that it happened. I believe God wants to say to some of you, how much longer are you going to let the devil blackmail you? I already know. I already know. What does God know? You want me to tell you there's one thing God doesn't know? You say, wait a minute, preacher. How does he not know it if he knows everything? I'm going to share with you the one thing that God doesn't know. And that is God doesn't know sin that he forgave. Look here at what the prophet Micah says in chapter 7, verse 19. You will have mercy on us again. You will conquer our sins. You will throw away all of our sins into the deepest part of the sea. Let me tell you what God doesn't know. God doesn't know when you confess a sin, repent of that sin, and trust Jesus Christ to forgive you, God wipes it away and He remembers it no more. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? He throws it into the deepest part of the sea. Well, I wanted to know, what's the deepest part of the sea, at least according to what man knows? The deepest part of the sea is the Mariana Trench in the Pacific Ocean. It is 37,076 feet deep. It is a mile and a half deeper than Mount Everest is high. And the pressure of the water that deep is calculated at 16,000 pounds per square inch. Now, what does that look like? If you were to lay down on this floor and we were to stack 100 elephants on top of your head, that's how much pressure is in the Mariana Trench. It is so much pressure, we can't get a drone down there. We can't get a submersible down there. We had one submersible, and as it was going down, the water pressure was so much that the submersible submarine, the drone, just imploded. Let me tell you what that means. That means when God puts your sin in the deepest part of the sea, nobody, not even a drone, can see it. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? One last verse. Hebrews 8:12. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Do you know if you say, Lord God, have mercy on me, a sinner? Lord Jesus, I trust you to forgive me of my sins. Did you know you can go back tomorrow and say, God, you remember what I did yesterday? God says, no. I don't remember it. You see, God knows everything except what He chooses to forget. And God chooses to forget sin that is under the blood of Jesus Christ. Ed Young Jr. tells the story when he was a kid. He said, when I was in the sixth grade, we moved down this dirt road. And on this dirt road, there was a lake. And so when we moved there, it says, my dad took me and my brother Ben to Kmart and bought us a rod and reel and a little tackle box. And he brought it back and he put it in the closet. And he said, now boys, you can go fishing anytime you want to. Just tell me before you do it. Okay, Dad. And so they go down there and fish and they have a great time. And one day Ed Jr. had a little buddy over and he said, hey, there's a lake down there. You reckon we could go fishing? He said, oh yeah, we can. And I got some equipment. And he went in there to the closet and he got out his rod and reel. He got out his brother's rod and reel, and he got out his daddy's rod and reel. But he didn't tell anybody. And they got out there, and they got in a little old flat-bottom boat, rowed out there in the middle of the lake. The lake's 30 foot deep. They're hooking up minnows, and they got the pole setting off the edge of the boat. And I'm telling you, the fish are biting. They're having a ball. And so what happens is a big old bass comes over and takes a bite out of that minnow, and Ed Jr.'s reeling it in, and while he's reeling in, another big old bass hits his daddy's pole and pulls the whole pole into the lake. It goes all the way to the bottom, 30 feet deep. He said, oh my goodness, am I in trouble? Well, they got through fishing, they went back and put the tackle box up, put Ben's rod and reel up, put Ed's up, but Dad's wasn't in there, and he's hoping, you know, Dad's not going to notice that one of them's missing, and the one that's missing is his. And so anyhow, this goes on for several weeks, and you want me to tell you what happened? Guilt sets in, and Ed, he loved to go fishing, but no, I'm not going to go fishing. If I go get that out, Dad might see it, and he's going to find out, and he's going to know. And for weeks and weeks and weeks, he's just eat up with guilt, and instead of enjoying his summer, he just eat up with, you know why? I messed up. And so finally he comes to his dad and said, Dad, I got to tell you something. He said, what is it, son? He said, well, when Johnny was over a couple weeks ago, we went fishing, and when we did, we didn't tell you. And when we were out there, one of the fish jerked your reel in, and it's at the bottom of the lake. And he just cried. He said, "Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And his dad looked at him and he said, "Ed, I knew that you snuck off and went fishing the day you went. And I saw in the closet that my rod and reel was missing. And," he said, "I've just been waiting for you to come clean. Ed, I forgive you." God knows everything you've done. He knows all your mistakes. He has seen it. You don't have to leave this place with guilt and shame. God says, if you'll confess it, I have three words for you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I'll remember it no more. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. What does God know? God knows everything. God knows everything about you, and He still wants to have a relationship with you. God knows your motives. He knows your heart. He knows your ways. He knows your weaknesses. Some of you came in today and you're nervous about something that is coming down the pike. God says, "I know your future. Trust me." God says, "I know your wounds and your hurts. Come to me and I will bind them up and heal them." God says, "I know your needs. Do you have a financial need, a spiritual need, an emotional need, a social need? Come today and say, God, you already know about it, but I'm trusting you. Have you made some mistakes? Have you got it wrong? How long are you going to be bullied by the devil? How long are you going to be eat up with shame and guilt? And when all you have to do is come and simply say, God, I messed up." God wants to say to you today, "I know all about it. I love you anyway. I forgive you." Heavenly Father, as we have a time of decision making and commitment, Lord, as your Holy Spirit tugs at our hearts, may we surrender. May we trust you, the all-knowing, good, good Father. Lead us now, God, as we make our decisions in Christ's name. Amen.